Bach's Capriccio on the Departure of a Beloved Brother. The pianist there recorded in 1982 was Tatiana Nikolaeva. This is BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 10 o'clock and now World Roots with Lucy Duran.
They met in a Mexican thrash metal band. They began their career together, busking in bars in Dublin. And since then, they've sold well over a million albums and toured the world. They've just released a new album with the band Cuba, and they're all here right now with us in the World Roots studio. They are Rodrigo y Gabriela. Thank you. Rodrigo y Gabriela, Mexican acoustic guitar duo, Rodrigo Sanchez and Gabriela López, leading the five-piece band Cuba with Santo Domingo from their new album Area 52. There'll be a lot more from them later on in the World Roots studio, and that will be after we've had a listen to some new albums of world music in the company of Reda El Maoui of the BBC Arabic Service. Welcome back to World Roots.
Hi.
And a new voice on World Roots, Mark Coles. And Mark, if I had to give a quick introduction to you, which I do, I'd say that you recently had a world music programme on the BBC World Service following on from the late Charlie Gillett. And you now present an internet radio programme of world music called The Shed. And listeners may also remember you a few years back as a presenter on the Radio 4 Today programme. Well, Mark, let's start with you.
Well, for someone who likes to bang on about the importance of new music, I've gone and done something a bit rash for my first choice. I've picked a re-release collection, and not only that, but a bunch of songs by a singer who's been dead for 35 years. Sori Kanja Coyote is a West African griot who was born into a family of storytellers and musicians in pre-independence Guinea. He went from singing at the royal court of a local ruler to being, well, the voice of the revolution, really, the musical ambassador of a newly independent Guinea in 1958. I don't really know an awful lot more about him, I've got to admit, because I did something, another rash thing with this album. I bought it as an MP3 download, and much to my horror, you don't get sleeve notes, you don't get information, I don't get the photographs that I can see in your wonderfully packaged review copies. But the set is really split between the traditional and the modern. CD1 is him singing with modern dance bands.
And what are we going to hear?
We're going to hear the opening track from that very first CD. It's a track called Na, which you've kindly just told me means my mother. And the beauty of it for me is that wonderful, wonderful combination you hear between the voice and the saxophone.
Thank you. love. Some villain Italia, Diana, Savannah. Some villain Diana, Savannah. No, don't ever yell at a man.
Na, by one of the greatest voices of West Africa, Sori Kanja Kouyaté. That's from the album La Voix de la Révolution, which is out on Stearns. It's over 40 years old, probably, this recording, but isn't it gorgeous,
hairs
Mark?
On the back of my neck stand up every single time I listen to that. What a voice. It soars, it floats, it's got such depth and warmth and spirituality, and it just oozes soulfulness.
Yes,
it's wonderful.
Really. He's fantastic. Reda?
Yeah, you can say a lot about the man and the history of this man, and which reflects the time, you know, the post-colonial sub-Saharan Africa and everything, but it's the voice. It's still the voice that commands respect. And also I was struck by the modernity of this sound, because I think it reflects a quest for identity, for a modernity, for a country
a modernity that comes from within the country instead of, you know, slavishly imitating the sounds of colonial bands. And that was the whole point, really. That's why he was called, Sori Kanja Kouyaté, was called the voice of the revolution.
And you get that on the collection, the two CDs. One is the traditional, one is the big griot epics that he's singing, recorded. Almost he sounds off microphone, as if the engineers haven't quite worked out how to cope
deal
with his
with
powerful
that loud voice.
And then, as we say, the other CD, CD one, is the recordings with the then modern dance bands. You do have rid of this split, isn't there?
And you can notice it in this track, actually. The balafon is having a backseat and to give way to the saxophone, which is very compelling here.
It's so rich, the relationship in Guinea in that period in the 1960s and 70s between traditional music and modern music, the music of the dance bands. I mean, it was a very, very influential period. Alas, there's so little now from Guinea.
Stunning to think we don't really. When you hear that and you think of Mori Kanté and other Bembeya jazz who came out of Guinea, why isn't there more? I mean, is it purely down to infrastructure?
I think it's just, yes, and because there hasn't been any money, even for musical instruments, let alone... I mean, at this time, at the time of Sori Kanja Kouyaté, there was a studio. There was a recording studio and a record label, which was Silifon. And it was one of the few countries in the 1960s that had its own record label. So that's what's reflected in this series, which I have to say is part of a whole series that have come out on Stearns, under the title of Authenticity, the Silifon Years.
When they went back to the roots, and talk about search for identity, it was really encouraged, wasn't it, to go and find something from the past to bring into the present.
In a
and
modern
it,
way.
It was also a part of a political project as well, we shouldn't forget this, and which made him quite prominent at that time. And now we don't hear of this music, and unlike in Mali, for instance.
The double album featuring the recordings of Sori Kanja Kouyaté is called The Voice of the Revolution, and it's released on Stearns. Now, if you're a regular with World Roots, you'll remember our first ever World Roots Academy protégé 2 years ago. It was Kayam Alami, an oud player. And here's another young oud player in the same Iraqi tradition, but he's Palestinian, and his name is Ahmed Al-Khatib. So, Reda, tell us about him.
He's considered by many as a heretic and then also as a traditionalist. This actually sums up what he is doing. He is experimenting with, in this album in particular, with traditional music and also drawing on the heritage of the Makam and the four main schools of oud playing, which is the Egyptian, the Turkish, the Iraqi, and the one from Syria as well. And in different tracks, we can feel this influence. He is playing in this album, Sabil, with Yusuf Hbeish, a percussionist who is also experimenting with different kinds of percussion from around the world. And the result is a remarkably contemporary album and quite frankly easy to listen to and very enjoyable. We're going to listen now to Shether, or Fragrance.
the Palestinian oud player Ahmed Al-Khatib with Yusuf Habesh on percussion. That's from the album Sabil, and the track was Shava, which you say means fragrance, Reda. And it was put out on the Institut du Monde Arabe, which is a French label.
Yes, and it's a big cultural centre in the heart of Paris to promote Arab culture. They produce plays, books, music, and it's sponsored by the French government. And it's a very high-profile institution in France. And they sponsor artists who might have some difficulties finding a producer with a music that might be considered as slightly highbrow, you know, like this one.
Not commercial. No. Not commercial, but incredibly accessible as well, don't you think, Mark?
Absolutely. I mean, I approached this with slight trepidation. I thought Oriental classical music, oud and percussion collaboration. I love it. Absolutely love it. It works. You're right, Lucy. It is accessible. To me, it was like listening. I'm a big jazz fan. It's like listening to improvised jazz at its best. Just the way they talk to each other through the instruments, the dialogue they're creating. Yusuf on percussion is stunning, a virtuoso. I mean, he's just absolute. There's one track, For Alex, where I lost track of all the different things he's doing on different percussion instruments. Absolutely, absolutely stunning.
The percussion instrument used here is quite a tiny one that you wouldn't expect such a sound to come from. It's called rik. Mm. It's a small tambourine with cymbals, you know, on the side. And they can create this drone feeling, which creates a dramatic effect of anticipation and build-up. And this is the dialogue that exists between Ahmed Al-Khatib and Yusuf Habesh. And Ahmed Al-Khatib, he said one of the pieces took him years to complete and others just a few days. And he said it expresses tales of exile, hope, and anger, but it's up to everyone to interpret it the way they want.
Because he has a very interesting story, doesn't he, Ahmed Al-Khatib?
Yes, he's originally from the occupied territories, and he used to be a teacher in Edward Said Musical Institute. But because of the different and consecutive agreements on territories, he is now denied access to his institute. But he still actually manages it remotely, which is quite interesting.
What, by Skype? Or how does he do that?
Pupils who are allowed to travel into his own zone, they do hold seminars and lessons. And he's still the head of this department, but he's not allowed to be there physically.
I love the sense of melancholy that you get from the oud playing, yet with the percussion, it almost feels like there's a tension, a fear, a sort of, you get a hint of the tragedy of the region as well. There almost is a clash between the two different styles, as well as a dialogue going on. It just seems to gel together perfectly.
And it's not very easy to create a drone-like effect with a percussion instrument, but he did it quite brilliantly here using the rik. And you cannot get this, for instance, with the buka, which is much more decisive and more dramatic.
Well, the new album from Ahmed Al-Khatib and Yusuf Habesh is called Sabil, and as I said earlier on, it's out on the Institut du Monde Arabe label. Well, when I was in Mali last October, the Ethiopian music guru Francis Falsetto handed me an early copy of a new compilation with the great title of Noise and Chill Out, Ethiopian Groove Worldwide. And it's just out in the UK. And Mark, you've been listening.
I have indeed. And I, like countless others over the last decade or so, have fallen under the spell of that Ethiopique CD series that Francis put out, those 20-odd compilations of music from Addis in the 60s and early 70s. This collection is something different. He's put it together again, but it's a sort of response to the music of 40 years ago from musicians all over the planet that have picked up the baton and tried to do something new with what he's calling the Ethiopian groove. And over two CDs, 28 tracks, we get everything from world jazz, power ballad, electronica, classical, even punk rock takes on Ethiopian music from countries as diverse as France, Switzerland, Australia, the UK, the US, Germany, Canada, Holland, even Japan. There's a Japanese sax quintet doing a take. Exactly. It's odd, but it's strangely compelling. There are several tracks on the CD that play to the roots music more, that go back into the past. And this is one by a group called Et, featuring two Ethiopians on vocals, and their song Heywet Endiet Niwu.
Let's go.
Band by the name of Et, and they feature two Ethiopian singers who we heard there on the track Hewet Endiet No. That's from the album Noise and Chill Out, Ethiopian Groove Worldwide. I'm glad that you emphasised the chill out rather than the noise.
There are some noisy tracks on there, I'll tell you.
I know. Yes, and we're up for a bit more noise later on when Rodrigo y Gabriela come back into the studio. So good to have the chill out. It's very interesting, isn't it, how there's sort of a bit of a cult now around Ethiopian music.
It's become massive, right across the generations in some ways. You know, I've been to clubs where, you know, they're playing a bit of techno, a bit of dance music, and suddenly something from those Ethiopian collections will come on in the midst of it. And I think, where's that come from? Why are people who are listening to that playing this?
But do you think it sits well in between those other more contemporary styles?
I do, because for me, that late 60s, early 70s Ethiopian music, those musicians then were looking to other things. They were looking to America. They were looking to funk and soul and jazz, all sorts of things. And the music that I hear on those collections has got a bit of that. So it's got, it gets me dancing. It gets, I love the horns. As I said earlier, I'm a big jazz fan. So I can find lots of things in Ethiopian music that I can empathise with and I love. And
yet it's very different, isn't it? The structure, the scales are very different from...
It's very haunting in
yes,
in
haunting,
many ways.
That's exactly yes. the right word.
And when you listen to Ethiopian music, you if you're not familiar with African music, you would think it's coming from somewhere else. I mean, why this specificity of this music, which is very, very different, yet quite accessible?
Maybe it's geography and politics, yeah. Partly. It wasn't colonised, was it, Ethiopia?
No, it's the only African country which was never colonised and, you know, and has a long Christian history, and I think all of these things are sort of reflected in the uniqueness of the culture.
What I like about this collection in many ways is that the music's come full circle. We talk about the musicians in the 60s and the early 70s looking abroad for sounds and influences. Here we have all these musicians from all over the planet taking little bits from 60s Ethiopia and doing their own thing. And yeah, some
in the year 2012.
Exactly. Some work much better than others. There are a few there that maybe you think, not sure. But the X jamming, that's a punk band from Holland, jamming with the veteran saxophonist Getachew Mercuria. And you get electronic artists. There's a guy called Snowflake from Canada who uses all sorts of electronic distortion and weird sounds with samples from the Ethiopic records from the past. And it's just almost the holy grail of the archivists, isn't it? It's all these
That's
labels,
exactly right.
Soundway and Analog Africa putting out collections. This somehow feels more authentic.
The 2-CD compilation Noise and Chill Out, Ethiopian Groove Worldwide, is out on the Ethiosonic label. Well, now to our final album, and it's a singer from a country which is sadly very much the focus of the world's attention now, the singer Omar Suleiman from Syria. So, Reda, tell us about him.
Yes, Omar Suleiman, a larger-than-life character, a real beast, you know, on stage. He performs the folkloric Dabke-style music of his region in rural northern eastern province of Hasake, which is not very far from the Kurdish regions as well. So we can notice a Kurdish-Turkish influence in his music. And like many Syrian musicians, he made his name as a singer in wedding parties across his region. But he was brought to Western attention when he signed up with Sublime Frequencies, an American label. He produced more than 500 cassettes since the 1990s, but now he performs in big festivals in the West, in America, and also in Europe. We're going to listen to Kaset Al Hanzal, or Drinking from the Glass of Bitterness.
Shukran lahali Berlin. Tahiyya lahali Berlin. أهل المغرب حيهم ألا سوات ألا سوات الثاب ألا سوات يا حزينة يا يما الثاب ألا سوات يا يما يا ولا الثوب الأسود من عقبكم مرمي هذا لي يا الشم يا ولي يا الأسود الأسود يا ويلي الثوب الأسود يا ويلي ويلي ما حد يا ناس ما حد يعاني يعاني يا ناس ما حد يا يما يا ناس ما حد يا ولي يا ناس ما حد مثلي تحمل ضيم هذا لي يعيش يما يما لا 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 يا ويلي يا ناس ما حد يا لذت منامي لذت منامي خيالك دام قدامي لذت منامي خيالك دام قدامي تبكي علي بحزن من تذكر ايامي تبكي علي بحزن والله والله بحزن تبكي علي بحزن من تذكر ايامي
يلا شكرا لكم
حنظل من يقدر يعديها فريد قلبي طيب يصبر على تاليها
The Syrian singer Omar Suleiman with the track, well, I won't try to say it in Arabic, but it translates as Drinking from the Glass of Bitterness. And that's from his album Haflat Gharbia, the Western Concerts. And indeed, that was a live recording.
Absolutely. It represents an hour of the best moments or from Western concerts he has done from 2009 and 2011.
So Western concerts means concerts in the West?
In Europe, yeah. He's now, he had a breakthrough on the international scene in Spain and in America and in Germany. This one is in Berlin. And at the beginning of the track, he greets his public as if he's in a wedding. Said, "Ooh, good people of Berlin, how are you? I love you." He feels that he is in his element among a crowd, even if they don't understand what he says.
I think he should be an even bigger star than he is. He deserves to be a bigger name. Absolutely infectious sound he creates. And he is rapidly becoming the sort of the name to drop for rock musicians if they want something a bit alternative, a bit daring. The Icelandic singer Björk asked him to remix some tracks recently. Damon Albarn, his band Gorillaz, recorded with him. I think there's some tracks that are going to come out later on that they've done
not
together.
Not released yet, yeah.
And weren't you saying that he was at Glastonbury?
He was at Glastonbury. Can you imagine that? At Glastonbury.
Yeah. I'm sure he would have rocked the crowd.
Yeah, but, I mean, with the fag, you know, in his hands, and you know, he's very comfortable wherever he goes. I mean, this actually what makes him quite interesting. He's not a great voice, you know. We have to say that when it comes to voices, you know, there is no shortage of great voices in Syria. It's his persona on stage, his presence among the crowd, and also the fact that he was spotted by an American international label as well has to do with his fame abroad.
And how do you think things are for him in still living in Syria? I mean, what's the situation now with artists like him?
Yeah, I mean, I cannot speak for him specifically, but for artists in general, they are in limbo because they were heavily sponsored and supported by the regime. And they are afraid. Some of them spoke for the regime and they said maybe if the Assad's regime falls, it might turn into an Islamic or Islamist, I would rather say, very hardline state, and that it will ban all sorts of artistic expression. They might ban music, profane music. So there is a lot of concern amongst the elites, the intellectual elite and the artists in Syria right now. Adonis, the very famous Syrian poet. He spoke for the BBC not long ago, and he said that he's not supporting a revolution that will bring Islamists to his country.
Omar Suleiman's new album, Hafla Gharbia, The Western Concerts, is out now on the American label Sublime Frequencies. Well, a big thanks to both of you, to Reda El-Maoui and to you, Mark Coles. And I'm Lucy Duran on World Roots. And as ever, you can find full details of all the music on the programme on the BBC Radio 3 website. So just go to the homepage and navigate your way to World Roots. And now we welcome back our guest tonight. Crammed into the World Roots studio are members of the band Cuba. Amik Guerra on trumpet, Alfredo Echavarria on bass guitar, Leonardo Castellini on sax and flute, Edwin Sanz on drum kit and congas, and the musical arranger Alex Wilson on piano, with guitarists Rodrigo Sanchez and Gabriela Lopez, better known as Rodrigo y Gabriela. But it's Alex Wilson who's going to start off this next song, Logos. Thank you. Rodrigo y Gabriela here in the World Roots studio with the band Cuba, and that was the piece Logos, which comes from their new album Area 52 that they're currently touring, came out earlier this year. So I said earlier on, Rodrigo and Gabriela, that you started out, or you actually met in a Mexican thrash metal band. Is that right?
Yes.
And you were both playing guitar?
Well, yes. I mean, we were a bunch of kids, and we both had different bands. And, you know, years later, she joined my band. But, yeah, I mean, we were, you know, we were teenagers, and we were listening to this kind of music that, in a way, taught us how to play guitar, and that we still respect a lot. And basically, we just met around those days, and we started this relationship based on music. And although we had different bands, we had this bond playing acoustic guitars, you know, at home.
In thrash metal style.
Yeah, I mean, then developed. I mean, we had like a normal, you know, setup for a metal band. But after, you know, I don't know, 8 years, we left Mexico City. We went to Dublin. And then we developed this kind of
And you did that busking?
Yes. Yeah, we busked for over 2 years around Europe and started in Ireland. And we went to Denmark and then went to Spain and eventually came back to Ireland. And then we got a record deal.
And so all those various countries that you passed through somehow all end up in your music?
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, and the experiences and the people we met through along the way, and playing in the street is such a really good experience. Although we only played during the summers, because Denmark we played in the winter time. But
wow, it's cold there in the winter. Yes. That was brave of you.
A bit tropical to go to Denmark.
But it's very interesting the way you divide up the musical labor, because you, Rodrigo, you're using the plectrum.
Yes.
And for a lot of really, really fast finger work.
Yes, I'm way better, yeah.
Gabriela, you're doing a lot. You're doing all this kind of strumming, and you do a lot of percussion as well on the side of the guitar, which is very interesting.
Yes, yes, thank you. And that was also developed through the, I guess, out of desperation of being playing for so many years in a band, and for us it was this set of mind in our heads that we are still a band, you know, we're still like a metal band, so we need to have the drums and the bass lines and all this.
Oh, that's very interesting. that makes sense. I won't even ask you to define your style, because I mean I couldn't possibly say what it is. That piece was just had so many different references.
That's right.
A lot of Cuba though, and that maybe has something to do with a particular, well, not only with the band but with the fact that you actually recorded the album, the project, was done in Cuba.
In Havana. Yeah, we did. But, you know, we grew up listening to, although we were metal kids and, you know, as a mid-class teenager, I mean, the last thing you wanted to hear while in Mexico was actually, like, very Latin music, you know? You wanted to hear, you know, heavy metal or whatever it was. But it was, I think, in our blood since we were born, especially, you know, our parents' generation. I mean, we love Cuban music.
And danzón, especially.
Yes,
there's a bit of danzón in
this
piece
amazing,
you've just done.
And obviously all these arrangements are amazingly well done by Mr. Alex Wilson. And I think when we asked Alex to work with us in this project, that's when we really started to embrace the whole thing. Because it wasn't supposed to be as complex as it came out. But
it wasn't supposed to be as complex.
No, in terms of, you know, basically we wanted just
until
to have...
Until you found Alex Wilson.
Yeah. But we basically wanted to have like something out there while we got myself took a break, you know. I mean, we are a band that like touring a lot. And we've been touring for the last 6 years nonstop.
It's almost like a continuation of your busking, isn't it?
I mean,
you're really known as a live band.
Yeah, that's
a great
right.
Live band.
That's right. But we want to have a break, and we said like, well, let's do a project, interesting project. We go to Cuba and we meet all these amazing musicians and we learn, but we don't even have to bother touring and all that. But when we started working with Alex and we started getting into the whole thing, and we said like, okay, we really have to tour this because we're going to enjoy it, you know. And that's the reason we are here.
And so, what was it like to work in Cuba?
That was really fantastic. It was like 11 days or more, maybe 20 days in the studio. So we had no time to see Havana, anything. We just saw hotel and the studio. But that was really good because it was the whole process of recording an orchestra, and it was our music, so it was just incredible, and that's it.
And even though you didn't see Havana, you must have kind of soaked up the energy of the city.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yes, it is, and it is culturally, it's a place of music where everybody plays, and everybody's talented, in my own opinion. Everyone plays so well. So
yeah, the level of musicianship is astonishing,
incredible.
Isn't it?
So that really inspires you.
Well, we have time for one more piece. What will it be?
We'll play Hanuman, which is the second track on the album.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank
Rodrigo
you.
Y Gabriela with the band Cuba. And here to end today's World Roots is their piece, Hanuman.
Hanuman, performed by Rodrigo y Gabriela with the band Cuba. This week's World Roots was presented by Lucy Duran and the producer was Roger Short. Well, World Roots returns in 2 weeks' time with another programme devoted to this year's World Roots Academy and its protege, the teenage Colombian accordion player, José Hernando. This is BBC Radio 3, broadcasting on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio. You can also listen to us live online in high-definition sound. It's just past 11 and time now for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
The unmistakable sound of Jim Mullen with his reunion band, and today's concert set is from Jim, recorded just a couple of weeks ago at the Southport Winters Weekend Jazz Festival. And Kevin DeGenre is here for another Now Is The Time feature, so what's it time to hear from again, Kevin?
A 1998 classic by the pianist Jerry Allen called The Gathering.
All that on this week's Jazz Lineup. Well, let's kick off today with something very much in the samba mode with Brazilian pianist singer Tanya Maria in a duo setting, this time with bass ace Eddie Gomez. The empathy between these two is clearly evident on all the tracks, and I particularly love the way Tanya Maria punctuates this opening track with squeals of delight, which probably only sounds cool if you're actually from Brazil. Music by Tanya Maria and Correa Reis, this is Dear DV.
Thank you. Tanya Maria's new album, Tempo, that was the track Dear DV with Eddie Gomez on bass. Effortlessly cool as ever on all eight tracks, that CD is out now on the Nave label. We're just released from the Ronnie Scott's All-Stars is the live CD called Jazz Classics. The All-Stars are regular players at the club and are James Pearson, who plays the piano, Sam Burgess on the bass, Pedro Segundo on drums and Alex Garnett on saxophone. But it's vocalist Natalie Williams who's really knocked me out with this version of Bye Bye Blackbird, with absolute world-class scat singing, showing her tremendous musicality and ability to swing. I especially love the last chorus where James Pearson breaks into a cheeky stride feel. It's bound to put a smile on your face and encourage any scat-studying singers out there. Here's Ronnie Scott's All-Stars with Bye Bye Blackbird.
Pack up all my cares and woes, here I go, singing low. Bye, bye, blackbird. Where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet and so is he. Bye, bye, blackbird. No one here can love and understand me. Oh, what heart like story they all end on me. Make me better light the light, I'll arrive late tonight. Blackbird. Sweet and so is he. Bye, Blackbird. No one here can.